welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
If we establish the truth, say, if I establish the truth in my life, I'm not going to be deceived. So the Lord has got me, if you don't mind, the game plan is simply this, to tell you truths that are in the Word of God so we will not be deceived. It's because we don't know the truth that when deception comes, we can say, well, you know, you never know, maybe, could be. No, there's no maybes, no could be's. When the world says there are no more absolutes, that's deception right there. Because this is the greatest, say this, this is the greatest absolute on the planet. Hallelujah. Let's go over, if you don't mind, real quick to 2 Timothy. And let's look, if you don't mind, at the third chapter. And let's look at some more scripture about the last days and what we shall see. Look at the third verse. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they'll gather to themselves, listen, one teacher after another, to considerable number, chosen to satisfy, listen, their own liking and foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And will wander off into myths and man-made fictions. How many of you know there's no shortage of lies? As for you, be calm, cool, and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Remember that long psalm we read this week? 100 and some. Which psalm was that? Do you know? 119. Psalm 119. Turn to 119 for a minute. Would you do that? Powerful. I read her Bible and it was so underlined I couldn't even make out half the words. It's absolutely incredible. Go over here if you don't mind to verse 145. Shows up more than once in the Amplified, but let's just go there real quick. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes or your commandments. In the four words that come after that, say there's four words. Listen to what it says. I will hear, say I'll hear. I'll receive. I'll love. And I'll obey them. Now here's what I'd like you to do and for me to do. As I read that again, I want to make it personal. You put your name in front of it. Are you ready? Paul will hear. Paul will receive. Paul will love. Paul will obey them. Pastor, some of the things in the Bible are tough. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Do you realize this? Now understand that the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit, was in the Garden of Eden. And then when sin came, the Holy Spirit left. He came upon people in the Old Testament and in the New. But then Jesus said, he's on you, but then he's going to be in you. Now, from Pentecost till Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit is where? On the inside of us. And what does the Holy Spirit know? Everything. Say everything. Everything. Some people say, I'm looking for a life coach. Holy Ghost. Amen. That's my life coach. That's my wife's life coach. We've had mentors that have let us down and have failed terribly. Then we realize men are going to fail. But the Holy Ghost cannot fail us. Say, the Holy Ghost can't fail me. So when I come to the place, listen, where I'm hearing the word, having a hard time, Holy Ghost, help me. When it comes time for I'm receiving it into my spirit, but Holy Ghost, I'm having a hard time. When it comes to loving unconditionally, say, love unconditionally. Love unconditionally. How many of you are challenged by that? The Holy Ghost can help you and help me. Well, I can't forgive that person. The Holy Ghost will help you because Jesus said this, if you love me, say this with me, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How many of you love Jesus? Then what should we be doing? Then if we're keeping his commandments, we love everyone how? Unconditionally. We even love our enemies. If we have unforgiveness, we're not serving God, we're serving the enemy. How many of you know it's difficult to obey? How many of you were ever children in your parents' house? Listen to this quote, if you don't mind, by Matthew Henry. The heart of a man is narrow and cannot contain both loves. The world draws down the heart from God. And so the more the love of the world prevails, the more the love of God dwindles and decays. The Spirit of God in true Christians is opposed to the spirit of the world. Matthew Henry, that's who wrote that commentary. Listen to this. It's without an author, but I think I shared this with you last week. To gain a clear understanding of the apostate church, we must first grasp the difference between true and false believers. You mean there are true ones and false ones? That's what the Bible says. There's a true church and a false church. There are multitudes who profess to be believers, comparatively a small number who actually are. There are those who with a genuine faith in Christ and those with a dead faith. Say a dead faith. You mean I can have a dead faith? Yeah, you can have a dead faith. Listen to some interesting information I came across when it comes to the culture. Say the culture. Because what's happened is Jesus said, you are in the world, but you're not of it. But what's happening is the world is seeping into the church. Whatever controls the mind of the people controls the culture. Whoever controls the minds will create the culture. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says this. The Bible says, so a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Listen to this now. The culture is manifested by, let me give you a few of them, by values. Values define the characteristic of a culture and a nation. What we value reveals who we are. Our values reflect our character. Basically, a value is a belief or conviction that is considered worthy in and of itself or by a person or a group. You and I, guess what? We have values based on what? The Word of God. Here's another thing you'll find in cultures. I'm just skipping over these quickly. Priorities. Culture manifests itself in the things we regard as most important. In other words, whatever we prioritize in life reveals our culture. We prioritize the sanctity of marriage, and our culture will reflect it in its laws and customs and social norms. Prioritizing the sanctity of life will produce a culture that protects its elderly. Yeah. Behavior reveals our culture. Our standards we apply in everyday life reveal whether we have a culture that indulges and encourages mediocrity or a culture that inspires excellence. Celebration. Our culture is revealed in the things we celebrate as well as the manner in which we celebrate them. I'm not going too far with that one. Morality. The level of moral conscience and consciousness reveals the level of our culture. Do we shrug our shoulders at adultery and other forms of infidelity? Do we turn a blind eye to pedophilia and all other kinds of sexual abuse? Are we willing to normalize perversion in our society? Are we committed to standing up for, supporting, promoting the highest standards of moral purity in every area? How many of you know that's all being challenged today by our culture? Some of them have become laws. Well, that's what the law says. Well, I'll go by the law of the Word of God. Yes. Now, I'd like, if you don't mind, listen, if you want to quote after me, you can. Say, I'm redeemed. Now, listen to what 107 of Psalm says in the second verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of you are redeemed? Then it's time we say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If we're redeemed, listen, say this with me and say your first name. Paul is redeemed through the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Listen, say I'm redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Whose blood? Jesus. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You notice the Bible doesn't change it from one book to the other. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace with God through the blood of the cross. Where was the blood shed? On the cross. Hebrews 9:12 says, by his own blood, he entered in, now listen, once and for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. See, when Christ shed his blood for us, here's some things that took place. First of all, he guaranteed our deliverance from hell. Amen. Another thing he did was gave us, listen, lasting freedom. Say lasting freedom. Amen. How many of you know when men fight wars, we talk about freedom, But what happens to that lasting freedom? It wanes because there's always some nutcase who wants to take over the world. There's always going to be somebody trying to steal our peace. But Jesus, say Jesus, Christ has guaranteed I have freedom from now all the way into eternity. Glory to God. Give him a hand. Come on. Thank God. I have freedom from demonic attacks and demonic spirits. There are four different, and I've preached this so many times, but listen to it because it needs to be said again so people watching and listening and you here can hear this. There are four different words, say four words, for the word redemption in the New Testament. But each one of them has a different meaning. The first one means this. It means to put away. Say put away. Put away. It means to return us. Say return us. The first thing Jesus Christ did was found us in the slave market. Say the slave market of humanity. Now, I've often said Satan has no power, and he doesn't, and he has no authority, but he did it one time. Because when he came to Jesus in the wilderness, he said, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you this back. He stole something that belonged to you and I. He stole something that belonged to God, and Jesus has come to what? Redeem what he stole and bring it back to the Father as an offering. Glory to God. Say, I'm redeemed. Say it again. I'm redeemed. Listen, it means to be set free by the payment of a ransom. Say, set free. Because if you'll study the word out, it says Jesus found us in the slave market. Say, slave market. I've had people that are missionaries tell me the stench that they smell in the slave markets overseas. I've been in enough jails and prisons, and when you walk in, there's a stench about a jail. There's a stench about a prison. But the slave market and the stench of sin, my God, Jesus walked right on in. Say, he found me in the slave market. And what did he do? Located me. Here's the good part now. Once he located me, then he removed me. Say, he removed me. I'm going to say it. He located Paul. He removed Paul permanently from Satan's power. Because there was a price that Satan wanted for every slave in his slave market. Nobody, say nobody, could pay the price except because Jesus was conceived of who? The Holy Spirit. He had sinless, spotless blood. No human being can have sinless, spotless blood, but say the Holy Ghost, conceived in Mary, Jesus. Say he located us and removed us. Those are two words. Here's the third one. Once he located us and removed us, he paid a price, say a ransom price, in order to break the power of Satan over you and I. Now, here's the last one. And this is, to me, the most powerful, but they're all very, very important. The next word for redemption means this. He permanently set us free. Say permanently set us free. My God. Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. It says this. Now we are fully restored and made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Say he did what? We'll put our personal names there. He located Paul. And he removed Paul. And he paid the price for Paul. And then he put us back into our rightful place where we belong. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus.
I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. Harvest Church invites you to join us for special evening services with evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth. Ted Shuttlesworth has been ministering throughout the United States for over 40 years, winning countless souls for Christ and moving in God's miracle-working power. Don't miss your chance to be a part of these anointed services, Sunday, October 8th through Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. For more information on this event or to download today's message, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. That's soldoutforjesus.com. Jesus.